have these young ones getting involved in ministry, how we thank the Lord for that. We are blessed. We are blessed at this church. Don't forget that. Well, how many of you had a good day today? What made it a good day?
I got a nap.
Got a nap. What?
Only one?
Yeah, just one.
Alive.
I woke up.
You woke up. All right. Well, we do have a lot to be thankful for. It's a beautiful time of the year. Yeah, I know it was kind of that reminder this morning, all day long, that white stuff out there that was flipping around out there, but we know it's going to come, but, you know, just it's just a part of life, isn't it? I am amazed at how quickly this year is going. You know, it was just back about June 21 or June 22 that I made my famous announcement that the days were going to be starting to get what?
Shorter.
Today is November 14. And do you know that it's just about 5 weeks and I'm going to be able to stand up here and give you the good news that guess what? With the arrival of winter, the days are starting to get longer again. Praise the Lord. All is not lost. Isn't it something that our Lord has set these things in motion? You can set your clocks by it. And then these crazy people tell us that our world, with all of its predictable dependability and reliability, it just happened. My dad used to always tell me, and I know he knew what he was talking about, fools are born every day. To say that that just happened, no way. Our Father is taking care of this world around us. He brings the season changes, and he brings the season return. And, you know, those days getting longer or shorter, it doesn't mess him up at all. He knows exactly what he's doing. What a great day. I'm glad to hear so many of you had a good day today. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Father, I do want to thank you for this day that you have made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for this place. I thank you that you continue to provide for the care and the upkeep. Our numbers are not near what they used to be years ago. Price of fuel and utilities, it's much higher than it used to be, but you still continue to provide for the needs of our church, and you care for our congregation. How we thank you and praise you, and I pray tonight you would bless us through your word. We're going to look at several different portions. Some familiar portions, but may the good old truth be a blessing to our hearts and a praise and honor to your name. I ask this, Lord, trusting that you will get the glory in your name, I pray. Amen. Andrew? If you like the right titles down for these, if people like to order up one of those messages, and again, I've mentioned this not very often, but if ever there is a message and you go out and say, boy, I sure wish I could have a copy of that and let so-and-so hear that. Unless we're having technical difficulties, there's always a recording of the morning and evening service. And you just let Andrew know, I need such and such a service today, a.m., p.m., dollar of this, and you can share that with others. And I know what that is. Sometimes we hear something and someone comes to our mind and we think, boy, this is just what someone needs to hear. It would just be good if someone could hear God's word on this particular subject, topic. So, a reminder that they're always available. Andrew is very gracious in taking care of your orders. I know and I see oftentimes people placing orders, stopping and talking to him. And we don't throw that commercial in very often. But here's the title. What's ahead? What's ahead? Tonight is going to be one of those passages of Scripture, unlike what we normally do in the morning service, where we are expository and we turn to a passage of Scripture, and boy, we're sure taking our time getting through some of these verses, aren't we, in the book of Jude. But to me, expository preaching is the greatest safeguard to keep one from error. Why do I say that? Because when you open up a portion of Scripture and you preach what the words in the verse are saying and what they mean, then it's not up to the speaker that, well, I want to use this verse for this. And I thank the Lord for the apprenticeship that I had as a youth pastor at Forest Avenue Baptist in Ypsilanti. The church isn't operative anymore, but I was there as their youth minister for 3.5 years. And my first year there as their youth leader after graduation from high school, the pastor who hired me as his youth pastor was in good health. And in that year, I was like a sponge, watching how he prepared, listening how he preached, paying attention to his presentation and his handling of the Scriptures. After a year, he got a brain tumor. 6 months later, the Lord took him home to glory, only 57 years old. Oh, he seemed like an old man to some newly wed 20-year-olds that started there, 57 years old. My, how old he was. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is I didn't realize it at the time. What a blessing it was to learn and listen and suck up the value of expository preaching. That was his style. He would take a portion of Scripture and he would take us through the verses and he would tell us what the Word said, not what he thought it meant. And you know that's what basically describes my ministry here. Yeah, sometimes we have topical. Sometimes we might have what I'll just call this evening thematic, where we're going to just give you a thought and we're going to look at some familiar passages of Scripture. They each have their value, and I trust this evening as we look at some familiar passages of Scripture, your heart will be blessed. God can get the glory. And you'll go away from here this evening saying, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord this evening. Well, how many of you would like to know what's in store for the future? Two of us. And they're younger ones. They're in their 20s. 20-year-olds learn something from the older ones. I think we all at times would raise our hands and say, boy, I just wish I knew what was ahead. But the older we get, the longer we live, the wiser we become. And we find ourselves saying, I am so glad I didn't know this was going to happen. I'm so glad I didn't have any clue that this was what was going, what things would be like. Am I on some familiar ground now? As we grow older, we find ourselves, okay, we'll take it one day at a time and trust the Lord for his guidance and his leading. But suppose that I would tell you that it's possible for individuals to know what's ahead. In fact, it's possible for them to know whether it's going to be good or bad. Would you be interested?
Yep.
I don't know. Well, there's five passages. I got through one verse this morning, and hopefully we can get through these five passages this evening of Scripture that make reference to the future and what one can expect. The first one, so familiar, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. As we look at this first psalm, here's a statement. It's possible to predict with accuracy what's ahead for any individual. Now, not the particular details, but the basic issues of life itself. Let's look at that psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is not in the counsel of these ungodly ones, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. As we look at this, I've preached on this Psalm 1 numerous times over the years. You've heard Sunday school lessons. You can see the progression that the psalmist makes there in verse 1. He starts out with the first picture. He said, blessed or happy is the man that does not what? Does not walk with the ungodly. If you're walking with somebody, what is that suggesting?
Agreement.
And you're going the direction I'm going. You're going the direction I'm going. And he starts out by saying, blessed, happy is that man that does not find himself walking the same direction that the ungodly. Well, walking, when you're walking, you're doing what? You're moving. The next picture he gives, nor standing in the way of sinners. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. Do you know that sinners have their own ways? And we see here the psalm is starting out, blessed is the man that doesn't travel with those people. He doesn't walk the same direction they're going. And he doesn't stand by the wayside and just kind of converse with these sinners as they make their way down the way. But notice the third progressive picture. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk with them. He doesn't stop and talk with them on their way. And lastly, he doesn't do what?
Sit.
He doesn't sit down with them and really become comfortable and get into it. That's our picture. In contrast, but, the one who doesn't do that, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, his word, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Okay, Pastor, what's our thematic topic here this evening? What's ahead? Here we see that we can't see the particulars, but the psalmist is giving us the basic issues of life itself. He, this one, whose delight is in God's word, he is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What comes to your mind when you think of a river planted by a tree? A tree planted by a river of water. What comes to your mind?
Refreshment.
Reviving.
Growth.
Life. Sustenance. That river has what it takes, and that tree took root where it needs to be. The river is a source of life-giving water, isn't it? And here's the picture. Someone who has turned their back on the way of the sinners, but instead their delight, their meditation, they think about God's word. That's what's interesting and important to them. They're going to be like a tree that has taken root right next to the river. And because of that, that life is going to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I can't tell you what particulars God is going to have in store for you if you follow what the psalmist has given here, but I can tell you on the basis of what he has told us, the life of this one will be blessed. The life of this one will be fruitful. And the life of this one is not going to fade or wither. And one who is tied into and in fellowship with the Lord and constantly looking unto him day and night, he looks to the Lord and his word. Success or failure, the life of this one?
Success
in whatever he does. Let's move on. There's another passage that is so familiar, but it's on this same theme. What's ahead? Jeremiah 17:5-8. Just like Psalm 1, we find the picture here of avoiding the counsel, the way, the prominence of the ungodly, and instead trusting in God. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 first of all. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. How many of you have ever known anybody who trusts in man? Oh my word! We all do, don't we? That's just what? That's just the way of the world, isn't it? You trust. Wouldn't you say this is just the usual way of life for the average man or woman of the world? And Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whatever he's strong enough to do, whatever he can work out himself, and his heart departs from the Lord. Oh, don't talk to me about the Lord. I don't need the Lord. The Lord is for weaklings. The Lord is for people that can't, they don't have enough smarts to figure it out themselves. The Lord is for losers. I'll trust in myself, and I'm going to work this out, and everything is going to be great. Don't talk to me about the Lord. Well, look what Jeremiah says in verse 6. Well, that one is going to be like the heath, which is actually a little dried up shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. What is the picture here? Success, failure, good, bad. Pardon? Bad. Failure. This one, if their trust, if they think they're going to make it through life on their own, they're going to blow it. Pastor, do you realize that the average men that I work with and the people that I rub shoulders with in my neighborhood and other people, they would laugh at your face if they would hear you say that this is the way it's going to be if a person trusts on their own. They're not going to make it. Let them laugh. I trust God's word. How about you? And this is one of those passages of Scripture which carries this theme with it. This is one of those passages of Scripture that gives us the principle. It doesn't give us all of the specific particular features. It just says, how would you describe the life, success, failure in verses 5 and 6. Failure. Period. Now let's look at 7 and 8. It says here, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord gives. Here's the difference. Cursed was the man that in verse 5 trusts in man. He's not going to make it. He's going to be a failure. But blessed, success, happy is the one who makes the Lord his trust. He is going to be, here again, like we saw in Psalm 1, he's going to be like that tree which was planted right close to the water's edge. And it's going to spread out the roots by the river. And you know, droughts come. dry seasons come. We're talking here not about climate change, we're talking about issues in life. And the picture here is if a person has put his or her roots down in the Lord, they are going to be able to weather the storms of life. That's what he's talking about. How many of you think that life is always peaches and cream? How many of you think that life is always fun and games? We know that's not life, is it? There are hardships, there are difficulties, there are trials. If you're trusting yourself, you're going to dry up. But if you have your roots in the Lord, if the habit and the pattern of your life is to spend time with the Lord, find out what God has for me today, how can I serve Him, how can I gain strength from the Lord for today, when the drought comes, the picture is this one is not going to fear or see when the heat comes, when things take a turn for worse. What kind of things, Pastor? Health. That's kind of an important thing for us, isn't it? Our health. Finances. Our employment. What's happening in the lives of our children? What's going on in our world around us? Everything is not always peaches and cream. That's the facts of life. And just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we are spared from having to go through the reality of life. Just being a Christian doesn't spare us from anything. Have you discovered that? There is no disease that Christians can't get. There is no job that a Christian can get that is so secure that nobody could make their job questionable. There is no neighborhood that a Christian can live in that is never going to have any problems with their neighbors. But when the issues of life come, if our trust has been in the Lord, the picture is we're going to be like that tree that has its roots and it's tapped into the source of life, and as life heats up, verse 8, he's not going to see when the heat cometh. The leaf is going to be green and it's not going to be careful or cautious or shrivel up in the year of drought, because it says that one is not going to cease from yielding fruit. Beloved, what we're seeing here is the difference between someone who is trusting the Lord day after day in their life and someone who is trusting themselves. And the bottom line is, I can tell you, who's going to know the success and who is tapped in to making it and who is going to be a big fat failure. We've seen it in Psalm 1. We've seen it in Jeremiah 17. Notice here in Matthew chapter 7 as we move on to a third picture. A third picture. And you're going to recognize, well, I remember that one too. Here's a parable by the Lord. And the same picture where we can accurately predict what is ahead for an individual. It's verses 24 through 27 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What's the condition? Someone who what? They hear and what?
Do it.
They do God's word. He said, I'm gonna liken that person to the one who builds their house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it and beat upon the house. But the house didn't fall by it because it was grounded on the rock. Hey, we could sing this one, couldn't we? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down, and the rains came down, and the floods came up. Oh, it was, wasn't it fun when we were young? And we knew the... I mentioned earlier the blessing. I mentioned earlier today when we had a little young man vocalize, and I said, what a blessing it is that there are parents that want to bring their children to learn things like that. You know, those little children's songs, they are teaching a principle, and that was the value of them. The foolish man... What's that? Verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And the reason it fell is because it had no what?
Foundation.
And the difference between how is it that some people can go through almost unimaginable trials in life and they make it and they keep a sweet spirit and they praise the Lord and they're thankful that it's because they are trusting the Lord. And then you have someone who has had everything in life, but they have never learned to trust in the Lord. Never had time for the Lord. Don't talk to me about that. God is for sissies. I'll make it on my own. And then sometimes the least little thing comes along and blows them away. It's because they have no foundation. We've looked at Psalm 1 and the importance of getting our life grounded in God, in His Word. We've looked at Jeremiah 17 and the importance of getting our life grounded in the things of the Lord. We've looked at Matthew chapter 7 and we've seen the difference between success or failure, making it or losing it. It's what place does God have in our own life? There is the difference. There is the difference. You say, well, you said we can even know whether things are going to be good or bad, Pastor. Well, here's a couple of references in closing. Number 4, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Here, the Lord gives clear instructions for successful living. He gave it to a man that I have always admired. You know, I have a lot of heroes as I spend time in God's Word. Joshua's one of them. Joshua, that servant we find here that had the opportunity to spend time tutored by Moses. Any of you, Moses, one of your favorite characters? Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been the one who mentored you? And you got to spend time with the man Moses? Well, Moses wasn't perfect, but neither are you. And neither am I. And Joshua had spent those years by Moses' side, learning, watching, listening, understanding what God's will is for the people of Israel. Moses was taken. He died on the mountain. And Joshua was to take his place. How are you going to fill the footsteps of a man like Moses? Could you? Well, I couldn't have. But look at verse 8. Verses 6 and 7, if you want to read those for some encouragement that God gave him. But I want us to especially think about verse 8, because this is the verse which God gives clear instructions for successful living. God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." But here's what you need to do. You need to meditate therein day and night, with the desire that you might observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, is that a big challenge? Sure is, isn't it? Meditate in it day and night with the heart's desire to, when whatever I see that God wants me to do, I need to strive to do that. Then the Lord said, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You don't need to raise your hands, but I wonder how many would like to be a success. How many of you would like to have a great success in your life? We find here in Joshua 1:8. I believe words that are applicable to each and every one of us that would take this to heart. If we would take God's word, meditate in it day and night with the purpose of, "Lord, whatever you show me I need to do, I'm going to look to you to show me how to do that. And then if you show me something tomorrow, I'm going to trust you to show me how to do that." And we find that with that is the promise for success in whatever we do. Well, finally, a glimpse at the end of one's life. How about a glimpse there? Interested in that? Number 5, our reference would be Psalm 92, 12 through 15. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. One can know what the end is going to be. Pastor, I didn't think that was possible. Well, listen. The righteous shall flourish, I'm starting at verse 12, like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of the Lord. That's what we've been talking about here in these other references. Making the Lord and His Word so important to us? We're at home in the things of the Lord and His Word. That's the picture the psalmist is giving us here. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That has nothing to do with how many pounds you weigh. I see some of you have some evil in your eyeballs there. But my Bible says they're going to be full of sap and green. They're going to be fat, flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, I've looked at this verse, and I have often made this a prayer of mine, Lord. Your Word has told me that as long as I keep my roots planted in the things of You, as long as I continue on with You and not set You aside and forsake You, if You allow me to grow old. You say, well, you're old. What do you mean, if? You're there. If the Lord allows me to grow old, my prayer is, Lord, I want this to be true of me. I want to be, when I'm old, I want to still be useful for Your honor and glory. We have had some champions in our church. How many of you, now I'm going to take a memory test of some of you that have been with me. How many of you remember Henry Gates? What a soldier Henry Gates was. You know what he was a soldier of? He was a soldier of prayer. And when the Lord took him home, I felt the loss. He was flourishing in old age until the Lord took him home. That's what I want to be. How many of you remember Arnold Beckler? How many of you remember what a blessing Arnold was as he would greet us at the front door and put a bulletin? Do you know, if ever there was a man called to be a bulletin passer outer, it was Arnold Beckler. Amen? Oh, what a smile he would have on his face. How many of you remember some of those sisters? Della Moore. What a blessing she was. Always here when the doors were open. You know what? Ones like that, they were bringing forth fruit in their old age. What could they do? They did what they could. And sometimes what they could was just faithfully being here, being an encouragement to the younger ones around them to see they were here. Yeah. Am I so naive to think that some of these older ones didn't wake up some of those mornings and, oh, those joints hurt, and, oh, they didn't want to get out of bed, and, oh, it's cold, but they would come. And we could think of others down through the ages. We would think of Ed and Jean, Jim's parents, and how that they responded, and how Lord's already taken your dad home. But you know, in his old age, he was still bringing glory to the Lord. Your mom's still with you. How thankful. Jonathan, what a blessing. What a blessing. Do you know what made the difference in these people? It was the Lord. There was a common link with each of these references we've looked at and each of the people I have cited. They had a personal relationship with God. They loved His Word. And they wanted to live His Word. What's ahead for you? It's up to you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the glimpses of successful living in these portions of Scripture. The similarities, the choices that must be made. A godly life doesn't just happen. We don't just stumble into it. It requires conscious choices. We set our back, we turn our back to the things of the world, and we set our face toward the things of you. I pray that you would use these familiar verses, passages that we've looked at this morning. Accomplish your will in each of our lives. May you get the glory in the way we respond to you. In your name I pray. Amen.